This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47 in the morning. It's Thursday, the 1st of April, and you're listening to The Morning Run. Well, yesterday, Bank Negara said it projects the Malaysian economy will likely grow on the lower end of between 6 to 7.5%. Governor Datuk Noor Shamsiah also said that the Malaysian economy is expected to rebound in the second quarter of this year and return to pre-pandemic levels by mid-2021.
Right. This was part of its annual report and economic monetary review, which was released yesterday. The central bank also revealed that it deems the banks in Malaysia to be financially healthy and that monetary policy will remain accommodative in 2021.
But the overall report was really chock full of information. So to help us unpack the most pressing points today is Julia Groh, senior economist at UOB Malaysia. Good morning, Julia. Thanks for speaking with us again. Now, what were your key takeaways from Bank Negara's annual report presentation?
Good morning. The main takeaways, I think, firstly is Bank Negara projected GDP growth to expand 6 to 7.5%. And what has changed is they reduced the lower end of that range from 6.5% to 7.5% previously. And this is mainly to account for the impact of MCO 2.0. But despite the slight adjustment, I mean, for us, it is still a very optimistic outlook. And the high growth is partly due to base effects because the economy did suffer a 5.6% decline last year. Secondly, what are the contributors to this positive outlook? Policy support measures, that includes the budget measures, PERMAI and PERMAKASA packages, stronger exports, thanks to the recovery in global demand. In fact, the latest data showed that February exports accelerated 17.6% year on year. So that's very encouraging. Now, what's also interesting is that Bank Negara projected several of the key economic sectors to grow at the highest rates in almost a decade, such as services by 6.6%, manufacturing by 8.8%, and construction by a double-digit 13.4%. And another striking point, of course, is private consumption, which they expect to grow by 8%. I think one key takeaway is that they assume a progressive rollout of vaccines and that Malaysia will be able to reach herd immunity by first quarter of next year. So this is important because it will help to lift sentiment and spur growth. And thirdly, of course, is because it's annual report, so Bank Negara's financial position, it remains stable. And Bank Negara actually recorded a net profit of 10 billion and were able to deliver 4 billion of dividends to the government.
Now, you were saying that you had that they have moved the band range lower, right, from 6.5 to 6. And I think you were saying also that your forecast is different or lower. Which of the elements are more pessimistic than what Bank Negara is projecting?
Yes, our growth estimates are lower than Bank Negara's forecast. Essentially, we kept our projections conservative. And a lot of the components we actually were lower, particularly like private consumption and even some of the economic sector projections, mainly because we felt that there are still lingering uncertainties, broadly risks are still on the downside, largely due to the pandemic risks and also progress of vaccine rollouts. For us, I think exports and manufacturing activity has been the most encouraging. We have also seen footfall in shops and restaurants increasing with the relaxation of MCO. Hopefully, new daily infection rates can continue to come down and stay low. And with vaccination rates picking up, there is a possibility we may review our growth forecast in the middle of the year.
And talking about private consumption, though, which you highlighted earlier, it contributes about 75% to Malaysia's GDP. And I think Bank Negara is expecting 8% this year. But strong private consumption is also driven by employment and sentiment. Do you expect better numbers this year?
Yeah, private consumption at 8%. It seems high considering that they actually expect unemployment rates to stay high, elevated between 4 to 5% this year. But I think Bank Negara has said that they are positive on private consumption because they see that it will be driven by targeted policy support, including the cash assistance of 10 billion, the EPF withdrawals and lower EPF contributions. There is also excess savings of 53 billion ringgit that could be spent as sentiment improves. We have seen a release in pent-up demand, and I think that will continue to happen as the containment measures are eased. And also, of course, digitalization, the rise in online spending. So as vaccines are rolled out, infection rates trend lower, containment measures are eased, we think that we agree that sentiment should also improve. And as the economy recovers, we could see more people returning to work and resuming full-time jobs. So those will be the key drivers and catalysts for private consumption.
Now, Bank Negara also announced measures to further liberalize its foreign exchange policy. How effective will this be in attracting FDI into Malaysia?
Yes, so they have announced some of a relaxation of FX measures that take effect in April. It would help the exporters because several of the measures would allow more flexibility in terms of repatriation of export proceeds, conversion of proceeds, and also hedging of commodity derivatives. I think this helps to ease the cost of doing business, and that would help make Malaysia more attractive as an FDI destination.
Meanwhile, Julia, let's have a little bit of a look into the Bank Negara's monetary policy. I mean, the MPC did say they will avoid a premature withdrawal of policy support. Now, how long do you think it will be before the central bank actually tightens monetary policy and maybe raises the OPR rate again?
Yeah, that's a trillion-dollar question, right?
Yeah, everybody wants to know.
Okay, I think we don't see it happening this year for sure. I think Bank Negara clarified, even as they see inflation spiking up to 5% in second quarter, so they have managed the expectations. They said that this expected rise in inflation does not warrant any monetary response because it is seen as temporary, is driven by cost push factors like oil prices and supply factors. But having said that, I think market observers are starting to price in the possibility that global interest rates may start to rise sometime next year. And this includes the US interest rates as well. So I think for Malaysia, it will depend on the state of the domestic economy. I think we need to watch the recovery. The pace of the vaccine rollouts will be important and how soon we can reach herd immunity. I think for me, we have to see international borders open before you can consider starting to raise interest rates.
Yeah, it's very funny because, you know, when we're talking about the higher interest rates, the governor did preempt to say she wasn't going to take any actions. But, you know, just want to get your view. When you read the report, which is a very lengthy report, were there any startling statistics or information or insights that worried you, that popped out?
One thing was we noted is that potential GDP or, you know, the country's potential growth or non-inflationary growth, they projected it to grow 3 to 4% for this year. And, you know, this compares to earlier years where it was above 4% or 4 to 5%. So it seems to be trending lower. And I think they did explain that it's partly because inflation growth has also been slowing in the last few years. So I think this is something that will be very important, in terms of forming national policies, especially with the 12 Malaysia plan around the corner, how we can revitalize investment growth. And I think this will be very important for our future GDP potential and opportunities in the future.
And Julia, one other data set which I noticed was the household debt to GDP ratio. It's at a new peak of 93.3% as of December 2020. Is this something you are concerned about?
I think it's because of the weaker GDP last year. And also, I think there were policies, incentives to spur demand or purchases of vehicles, cars, and also home ownership, right? So I think the spike is partly due to these reasons. But hopefully, as the economy recovers, you find that GDP increases or expands to pre-pandemic levels, then these household debt ratios will actually start to normalize. But I think another key point is that the household debt asset stability ratios are still suggesting that things are manageable at this point. So I think not something to be alarmed, totally alarmed at this stage. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Julia Goh, senior economist at UOB Malaysia, giving us her views on the recently released Bank Negara annual report for 2020. Basically saying, okay, economy seems to be all right. Of course, there still is risk. Risk, of course, in terms of the slowdown, or if slowdown of the, I think, global economy, because we have really done pretty well due to the manufacturing and the exports. Right. The other thing to keep our eye on, of course, is vaccination rollout, not just here also, but also on a global scale.
I think the number to watch is private sector consumption. She was forecast, I mean, the bank was forecasting at 8%, which is on the high side. But there is a case for the 8%. They were saying vaccination rollout, confidence to shop, surplus cash coming through, digitization of the economy.
ICINA
was
the
also
the 10
mentioned.
Billion cash handout is another reason.
Exactly. So really to see whether that 8% private sector manifests itself. She also made a point that there were some of these forecasts quite high. Construction at 13%.
Services
6%. So I think those are the numbers.
Manufacturing kind of, also.
Correct. That's about 8%.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to watch those specific elements as well.
Yeah, I think some definitely because of the low base effect, and construction, I think, driven very much by the pump priming that, you know, our government is going to be focused on. Right. But, you know, as she says, all this is important in terms of giving us a flavor, an indication of how 2021 will be. But it's also quickly our subject of our poll this morning. We asked whether you think Bank Negara will likely grow on the lower end of 6 to 7.5%. Is this achievable? And 57% of our respondents actually said no. So they are not as optimistic as Bank Negara.
Which is very telling because, you know, Julia was saying that the original focus was 6.5 to 7. Now it's 6 to 7.5%. And on the lower end, I think our listeners are on the money on that.
Well, we're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And after that, the breakfast grill where we speak to Snowflake. That's happening in a few minutes. So stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.